Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back to Fanboys OneCasual.com. No, wait.
Dot org.
No, two fanboys. I ruined the. Oh, well. Two fanboys and Filthy Casual back at you again. This is. Damn it.
You're going to say
.edu. Please email me. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
So, as you can tell, we've been really enjoying ourselves. We're in a good mood. Whoa, no. Not like that. We're in a good mood, and I think part of it is because we've kind of had some time to actually like spend time with each other. You know, as our listeners might not know, aside from podcasting, we're actually like real-life human beings.
What?
Aside from, you know, the celebrities that we are. You know,
kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
big deals. Oh, big deal.
Whoa. So, you know, one of the reasons why we have this rapport is because of the fact that we spend a lot of time with each other, and I think we kind of wanted to talk about, you know, an experience that over the weekend that really, really like bonded us together. So, Harold, want to start us off? See, you know, let's see if we're on the same page here.
Well, Let's first get the running joke out of the way. By the time you guys hear this, this will be the fifth time we're celebrating Lewis's birthday.
Yeah.
So
happy birthday, Lewis.
Happy birthday, Lewis, for the...
By the way, Lewis is 63 now.
Yeah.
At this rate.
If we're going by celebration age.
It is a reverse leap year.
Twice.
So for his first celebration, and this is something that's already happened in the past... he actually invited us and, you know, Dennis's family and his close family and friends. Well, not friends. Family. Sorry. Sorry, other people who don't. So, cause we,
others.
Number one. Okay, going back before we talk about this.
Ooh.
Sorry. Awkward. Sorry about that one chat where we were talking about.
I don't think it,
okay, it's not, it doesn't matter.
I think
anymore.
She's too busy.
She's fine, you know, she doesn't listen to me.
With somebody else.
Yeah.
Yay.
But
awkward.
For the rest of us, we were invited to go do a little extracurricular activity that we hadn't these two had never done before, and me, I hadn't done in a few years, and that was we went go-kart racing.
Yeah.
And
if you say it like that, it doesn't sound as cool anymore.
We went go-kart racing.
There you go.
And Lewis wanted to do it as a Mario Kart themed event, and the only person who didn't do that was me.
Yep.
So
you could have had like a Mario shirt. You had Street Fighter on, for God's sake.
I'm pretty good at both games. I figured, you know, same thing, right?
That's,
I mean,
true.
Lewis sucks at all of them.
So I still had the game.
And Lewis, great costume, by the way. You know, great version of...
It's like a mixture of Mario and Luigi combined together.
Yeah, with a hint of Wario. Because
your mustache was upside down?
A little bit, and I didn't think that my overalls were going to be so tight. So it kind of like, whoa! I got these, like, Waluigi legs going.
That's why I said Mario. Oh. it was like Mario needed some clothes, and Luigi goes, here's my clothes!
They got the same accent.
Well, they're both brothers. Italian, right?
They're both brothers.
Okay, just check.
They're twin brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So... and we went to, what was it called?
I can't remember now, but...
that's an interesting name for a go-kart.
Yes.
Oh, Racer's Edge. Racer's
ooh.
Edge.
Racer's Edge, that's correct. That's
why
right.
Why did I not notice that?
Yeah.
Because as soon as I pulled up, I was like, ooh, Razor Ramon.
Oh, yeah. That's bad guy.
Wait, wrong wrestler. Oh, yeah.
That's Bob Holly, right?
There's a lot going on in this conversation.
But when we went there, we initially were thinking... It's not that fast. We were watching the kids go around. We're like, yeah, you know, it couldn't be that bad. And then we were discussing it. And I was telling Lewis, I go, oh, that's because they throttled it for the younger people. But when you're older and, you know, 60 or whatever, the height limit or whatnot, they let you just fly. And we were watching some of the things. And we're like, oh, it's not that bad. And then we'd see the ones we're like, okay, if we're going to be going that fast, this is going to be awesome. And unfortunately for Lewis... Because he's such a great dad. And he's such a good family man.
Well, was he really?
He was really being protective of his son and his nephews.
It was his
nieces.
First time.
Yeah.
It was like putting his other son among adults.
That's the ultimate. Big mistake for Lewis on that one. Throwing his son who doesn't drive.
Which, by the way, my favorite part of the whole night is like, hey, Lewis, it might be a good idea if you go with us instead. I'm going now!
By the way, Lewis always remembers that. Dennis remembers that. I was just cracking up because I was like, he totally just yelled at us. Well, no, he didn't yell at us. He yelled at you. Because, well, technically it was at us. Because
I was trying to help out my nephew.
Yeah, but at the same time, we were calling him kind of a wiener for not going full speed like we were. And then he said, I'm trying to protect my son. And we're like, okay.
One of them.
Yeah. The other one, not so much.
The other one's 21. He's fine.
I don't know. From his driving and from how many times he ran into Dennis, I'm going to say he wasn't fine.
Wait, are you sure he ran into Dennis or was Dennis just ramming everybody?
Oh, Dennis was going ramming speed the whole time.
Ramming speed.
Now, real quick.
He was exchanging paint.
Just because another driver doesn't know how to drive, it's not my fault. Okay, that's all I'm saying. We'll leave it at that.
Well, you know, unlike Dennis here, I was actually very cautious about the people around me because I love Gerard and I do not want to hurt him. And every time I'd see him in a corner, I'd be like, if I go full speed, I will clip him and destroy him. And knowing him, he will hate me for the rest of his life. Dennis had no such, you know, restrictions.
I think he felt like the helmet covered him. So it's like, I'm Aaron! Or I'm not Dennis!
Which, by the way, speaking of this, I don't know if you were there, Lou, but Harold was kind of talking about how the last time he was here, he had a couple of his friends who didn't know how to drive properly, and he still ended up, like, you know, not in first place.
Yeah.
And he was talking, you know, he was talking I wanted to point out, I was second place, Harold was like sixth.
I was third place, what are you talking about? Because I was trying to be cautious, and I never crashed.
Hey, which one had a racing crew?
That would be me.
Interesting fact, guys, Harold had a racing crew.
Yes, because, you know.
It wasn't me. I had a minivan.
So did I, but I was still in a racing crew.
I always thought it was called With People That Can't Hear. With people.
That's backwards.
I know.
That's backwards.
But it's Spanish, right?
Yes. No, it's not con deaf. Damn it. The fact that I understood that right away means that we have known each other way too long.
Yeah, if you want to know what the meaning of that thing is, join us at Patreon.
Yeah.
Actually, we have no Patreon.
We're slowly going into debt more. Okay, me and Lewis aren't, but...
Thank God I'm making, you know, high school money. Oh, that ended the...
Just because it got awkward.
I know, ooh.
But yeah, fun times.
Fun times, definitely.
We should do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Lewis actually...
Lewis will join us in the adult section. Yeah. That sounds so bad.
The adult section.
Also at the reason. Wait, I was telling Dennis, and I didn't ask you this. I don't know how fast you were going, but when you got back to your regular car,
mm-hmm.
were you driving it like it was still a go-kart?
It started raining, so I got a little cautious, okay. But then, yeah, it didn't have the same feel as, like, I really wanted bucket seats after that for a bit.
Because for us, we forgot that there was a brake, and we just kept on gunning it. Like, you could see it from our, you know, obvious. It's very obvious.
I mean, every single time we turn,
that was whole screech.
That was kind of cool.
And when I was exiting to go to my house, I was like, Do I hit the brake? And in my head, I was like, I drive a pickup truck. I might want to hit the brake because I don't want to start flipping over.
Especially that corner.
Right? Yeah, that corner. And I was literally like, right when I was at an exit, you know, or the other exit, not off thing. And right when I was doing the exit, I was like, well, I'm just going to be safe.
Do I just let go of the gas or step on the brake?
Exactly what it was. And then I was like, no.
Actually, I'm surprised how much, like, you've done it before, but, like, I didn't know go-karts had, like, no power steering, because those turns
those things are hard.
Hella heavy, dude. I was like, I hit, like, two-handed. It was like, anyway. Yeah. Also,
obviously, somebody hasn't been working out.
No, I have not.
Like, my ankle was hurting. My calf was kind of tight.
Definitely, because you never let go of the gas.
You're red-footed. You're just like...
Your right foot was extended.
The only time I'd let go of the gas was when your son was just happened to be in my way.
I appreciate
it. And the one time where I was like, come on, man. And then I was like, don't yell at him. Can't yell.
He was super upset afterwards, though, not at you guys, but he's like, where are the rearview mirrors? Like, really, man? And no, he complained about two things: that go-karts had no rearview mirrors and they had no lights. I'm like, what are you going to use lights for? Brake lights?
Yeah, he can slow down. You know?
No, he needed the turn signal to know which way we were turning.
Yeah, that's good.
In a circular track.
You turn left.
He's like,
and then left.
Wait. We're going left. Okay. No, that one part.
Left.
There's a couple of times where you turn.
That's true. Right. Okay, like a slight right.
Yeah.
And then a hard left.
So if there's ever any time you, another activity that you think the fanboys would be fun, you know, to join.
Except for whitewater rafting.
Except for white, because that's never going to get recorded.
Yeah, that's
personal.
Yeah.
That's too personal. Jesus.
Although last time I did Snapchat it, but it was literally like just Jay trying to get out of the tent with his gout.
That was not the last time.
No,
that was the first time that we
But
went.
He couldn't get out because, you know.
Well, gotcha. I think there's GoPro of me feeding the fish, though.
Right? Yeah.
There is a video of... No, that's from Dennis drowning in the first
time. I think we'll have to do a... We should do an episode on the...
Fanboys outdoors. Fanboys outdoors.
Wait, we're French?
Yes.
We're really roughing it out there, you know.
Yeah. We were, you know.
So, I mean, people always...
Gout. That's how rough it was. Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, you got gout? Well, here's some beers and steak. And that's going to
some processed meat.
Okay, well, that's for the future. But speaking of gout, okay.
Oh, that's a great.
Hold on, high five for
a
quick.
Oh, yes!
I gotta give you.
Damn it, that's good.
That was good. It's like you guys planned it.
Oh, man. I'm so proud of that. Wait, we're talking about the same thing.
Yes, we are, right?
I hope so. We're slapping you.
I hope so.
So, speaking of gout, one of my friends have a medical problem.
Oh.
No, I'm joking. So, just recently, you know, a seminal event, you know, for a lot of people, a lot of fanboys out there, happened, and there was like a moment in time where, you know, everybody just kind of like stopped everything they were doing and started watching Game of Thrones. So we're here to kind of, in a way, talk about Game of Thrones, but not really. So we'll start it off with, you know, our resident fanboy, Game of Thrones fanboy, and, you know, he did what he was able to watch every single episode in like, you know, what, a span of a month or something.
Yeah, I think that was a nice thing about having everything streaming. So before the last season premiered, you know, this last February or March, you know, I was able to basically binge the entire 7 seasons of Game of Thrones last calendar year. But so yeah, this last year was a huge deal for a lot of nerds, a lot of fans, for the internet. Not to mention every podcast, every blog had a hot take about, you know, this final season of Game of Thrones. You know, a lot of hype, a lot of, it's been a while since, you know, television's had this kind of like impact, you know, moment. Where, you know, everybody had to have... It was like, you know, it was kind of like the Super Bowl in a sense where, like, if you didn't watch it, you know, what were you doing on Monday? I was reading this, I think it was Time or somebody made a, you know, pretty hot take saying that the Monday after the final episode was going to be one of the least productive days of the calendar year because people are either going to call out late, call out sick, or just, you know, be super unproductive, you know, reading articles, listening to podcasts, and seeing other people's hot takes. So, yeah.
Which, by the way, what were you doing on that Monday?
I was actually online. So, conversating with a lot of our fans. So, thank you, everybody on Facebook who was active on our page, you know, sharing. We actually got a couple shares on some of the articles and some of the new stuff that we posted. So, it was good chatting with people. So, thank you,
everybody. So, you know, let's start off with, what do you think of the reviews? You know, based on what I've seen, it's been really a mixed bag of what people thought about the finale.
Yeah.
So, you know, as the resident expert here, why don't you kind of give us your take? You know, was it a satisfying conclusion to Game of Thrones? Was it lackluster? Was it missing something? Tell us what you thought.
It was a finale. So, it was, from my lapsed, you know, casual perspective, somebody who had the privilege of kind of binging everything in a year, it was perfectly fine, in the sense that, you know, it did wrap up a lot of the stories. I guess we'll go into spoilers. I know you guys are not going to catch up, or, you know, don't really
I actually watched it.
Oh, you did? Okay. Okay. So yeah. So we know.
I had no idea what was going on.
But you see, at least.
I watched it.
You sat through the hour and a half.
Just because
there was a lot of walking at the beginning for some reason.
Yes.
Walking, discovering, walking.
Walking upstairs, walking downstairs.
And then there was somebody who couldn't walk.
So, yes. So yeah, let's just dive right into it.
Kind of two on the nose. Bram the Broken.
Bram the Broken.
It's like.
Won the Game of Thrones.
It's like Kathy No Legs or something. What would have been the other name for him?
They have to like find alliteration for it, I guess. But yeah, so you know, if
Short Simon was the guy walking around, yes. That his name? Yes.
Tiny Tyrion.
That's his name. Got it.
That's exactly his name. So you know,
we're making fun of people who are of shorter stature.
Sorry, Peter Dinklage. You're a great actor.
Sorry.
Jeez. Shout out to Peter Dinklage, you carried the season. Shout out to Cherry because you watched the show too, I guess. But yeah, so I mean the season was perfectly fine in a sense that I thought it was fine. It wrapped up a lot of things. I do know what a lot of people were worried about, that you know, for a show that's so like nuanced, I guess that's the word I'm looking for, it's like there's a lot of detail that the author George Martin threw in there, and a lot of the stuff that the creators, the producers, their nickname is D&D. You know, they threw in a lot of details and a lot of, you know, yeah.
Game of Thrones, D&D.
Yes, they're two creators and they're nicknamed D&D. Unfortunately, I can't remember their names off the top of my head. You know, so you know, they threw in a lot of details throughout the 7 years or the 7 seasons of this show. So what I think a lot of people were missing in this last year were those details that made the show so rich. Does that make sense? Like a lot of the, like, you know, they throw in a little nook from the book here, or you know, a little character motivation in that season, and it all kind of felt, or what a lot of the criticism felt was that it was kind of thrown under the rug for the sake of I read it somewhere, basically checking off the boxes. You know, the whole series is leading to somebody quote unquote winning this Game of Thrones, so they had to get all the pieces so that somebody would become the king or queen at the end of the series, and they did. And like Dennis mentioned, the ultimate winner is weirdly enough the guy that didn't play the game. I know you guys just watched.
He never actually got to sit in the
He has a mobile throne, I guess.
Is
the throne goes where he goes, man.
Was the nickname of that throne Cherry?
Chariot.
Yes.
It's a chariot.
So, I mean, yeah, I would, at a scale of 1 to 10, I would give this finale a 6. So it's not the greatest, you know, it's not the greatest finale. Thankfully, you know, as a consumer of, like, pop culture and stuff like that, I've had, you know, the privilege of experience really good, solid finales. This one, middle of the ground. Definitely not the best way to go out, because some of the seasons of Game of Thrones have excellent climactic episodes and, you know, some great battles. This one, unfortunately, it was very basically colored by the numbers. You know, it's like, they, like I said, they wanted to get a lot of the pieces where they wanted it to go, check off the boxes that people wanted to see. They wanted to see how the White Walkers were going to die. They wanted to see the Clegane brothers fight. They wanted to see Cersei get her comeuppance. She's being the, like, the evil queen of this whole story, basically.
No, but it seems like you're talking about the actual season. Let's talk about the finale.
Okay,
you know,
thank you.
How was the finale? Was it a satisfying ending?
You know, okay, I know you just asked. The finale itself, yes, because it did give everybody an end. You know, if you weren't dead, you had some sort of ending. So I guess for a finale, that's all you could really ask for. Now, how those people got to there, to those finales, the mileage varies depending on how much you love these characters. So in a sense, as a finale, it was fine. It lacked a lot of the big moments that you were kind of hoping, you know, big impressive moments. But part of me thinks that that's because they kind of blew the budget on those big fights early on the season. Does that make sense? So there's a big, like, you know, CGI fight fest for against zombies, and another one against you know, burning down an entire city that they got out of the way in the first few episodes of the season. So as a finale, yes, it was satisfying. I know you guys, like you guys said, you saw it. Daenerys, who ultimately dies in this episode, was a huge turn, or a huge moment, because, you know, she was one of those characters that were still left over from the beginning of the show. And a lot of people were, you know, hoping that she would win the Game of Thrones. And, you know, to the point where, you know, I don't know if you guys saw that, but people had been naming their kids Dany, Daenerys, Khaleesi, those kind of things. And I think some of them regret that now, but, you know. So it was weird, but, you know, again, it was ending. I'm sorry, I'm kind of all over the place right now. But, so, yeah, it was, again, kind of going back to my review of the series or this final season, I'd give this one a 6-2. It was not the best finale. It lacked that kind of like, not to sound fickle or shallow, but it's missing that oomph, that like wow moment. Like the moment when Jon kills Daenerys was kind of like there. And for something as pop culture phenomenon as Game of Thrones, I think they would have wanted it to be more than just there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you want to have a Super Bowl where there's like an Eli Manning helmet catch moment. It was like, whoa, can you see that? Or, you know, or something like that. This was just like, I don't know, a 40-point blowout against the Rams. Sorry, Rams. Or however many points they lost. So, you know, it wasn't that great of a watershed moment. So that's points against it.
So two things before we move on. First one is, I don't know if it's interesting you talk about how blowing the wad, so to speak.
Yes.
You know, and not having enough budget, maybe, as a possible reason for it. I was reading today that there's actually the opposite, where D&D, I guess those are the directors.
Yeah, right.
D&D was actually offered by HBO and said, look, no matter how much time you need, how much money you need, we'll give it to you. Just make this as good as possible.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why the fans are complaining, is that HBO promised that, and this D&D kind of said, no, six episodes is fine.
Yeah, we're good, yeah.
And the reason, part of it is because now they're in the process of starting up the next Star Wars.
Absolutely, so, yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of behind the scenes kind of stuff. But yeah, I think that is what a lot of fans are complaining about. It's like, dude, you guys cut yourself off at the legs for the sake of moving on to the next franchise. And, you know, this great story of Game of Thrones was a victim because, yeah, they were trying to rush through it. And you're right, because, you know, I hate to say it, I don't think HBO is lacking any funds. Like, so one of the big trailers for that they attached to this movie, or to this episode, was for Westworld, which looked gorgeous. That looks like a lot of money. So instead of obviously being in the ancient past, they're in the far future, and they have robots and, you know, these high-tech vehicles and all that good stuff. Like, so I know that they had money for another dragon fight, but, you know, another big climactic battle. And yeah, it does kind of, it looks bad for D&D to say that, oh, you know, just coincidentally, as soon as this show wrapped up, oh, we're going to be show running the next Star Wars trilogy. It's like, ooh, bad. You know, it's a bad look. It's a bad. The aesthetics don't work out too well. So what was the second article?
The last thing is, and it's kind of, I just think it's a hilarious thing. You know, last episode I kind of mentioned, or two episodes ago, that we have a listener, Kara, you know, who's starting to kind of, as long as there's like Benedict Cumberbatch or Tom Holland, she loves the
Or Rob Pattinson.
Still Rob.
Still Rob. Shout out to my boy Rob.
Pattinson.
Yeah. Pattinson.
So, you know, she's been kind of talking to me about this whole thing, and she has a theory, and I don't know if you're going to like this theory. And she said she's been trying it out for all her friends.
Okay.
And so far it's been 100% correct.
Okay.
So the theory is this: anybody with low intelligence hates the final episode, and people who are smart actually enjoyed it because of the intricacies and the nuances of the whole thing. So where do you stand?
That's why I said it was six, right? I said 6 out of 10, right? Yeah,
that's very good.
Hedging my bets,
leaning towards the end.
Yeah,
slightly.
And that's why he works for the city.
That's exactly it. I am a C+ student. Don't catch me at a UC. I'm at a Cal State.
So we're going to use that as their jumping point here. You know, Lewis kind of mentioned how there are certain things that we expect from finales. You know, certain things that we've been looking forward to. Check boxes. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny that you're complaining that it was the checkbox that you kind of didn't like. Whereas sometimes there are some finales where I'm like, I hope that these boxes are going to be taken care of. So let's take a look at that. You know, one of the things that Game of Thrones is really experiencing right now, there's a lot of hatred. I believe it's already passed the... was it a million already? Or the people who want a remake of...
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's crazy season. To me. Yeah, that's like some... Harold shaking his head. But yeah, that's some life, fans... That's some fan backlash right there. And also fan backlash, but also y'all are some entitled nerds.
Yeah.
Like suck it up, dude.
I love the whole response of like, oh, you want to rewrite it? You rewrite it. Let's see what you can come up with. Just you by yourself. Like, Mr. You don't need a million people. There's only like a certain amount of writers. Like, if you think you're so good, and then they're going to be like, oh, look at all these fan-made trailers. I was like, yeah, that's for like movies that are like an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
You're not, that doesn't have the backstory or the history that, you know, I don't know. That's just me.
So, you know, let's use that as our topic for today. Let's take a look at good and bad finales.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, let's throw in a couple of things maybe in the mix and see what we get.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny though that, you know, I have to admit that, and I think Lewis kind of mentioned this on the chat today, where I was trying to remember and, you know, figure out what were some of the best and worst. And I realized, man, there are a lot of TV shows that I started watching and I never finished it.
Yeah.
So part of me was struggling. And then all of a sudden I started kind of like thinking, I was like, oh, wait a minute, there's a couple. So, you know, let's go around. Should we start with good first? Or should we start with bad? What do you think?
Yeah, let's start with something positive, just because talking about Game of Thrones kind of, I felt like it's kind of a kind of a downer. Sorry, guys. So, yeah, I mean, what's a good finale for you guys? What makes for a good finale, first of all?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and part of it is really, there needs to be a payoff. And for me, it has to be an emotional payoff.
Okay, yeah.
Because of the fact that, you know, you've invested so much time with these people. And what I want is not just a payoff where it's like big explosions and that other things. I want them to stay true to who they are and be able to progress, you know, through and actually finish what... the journey that they've had together. And so, at least for me, that's what I look for a good finale.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And for me, it's always about closure for not just the show and the characters, but for the audience as well, where it's like, you can leave shows open-ended, but open-ended in terms of like, you know, imagining for the best or just imagining the future with those characters progressing that the way they've come out at the very end. And then at the same time, giving you an almost definitive like answer of all the questions that you've ever had about
this show. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'll start it off. You know, one of my favorite TV shows when I was growing up, not in the Philippines, but here in America, actually. You know,
ding.
Maybe kind of shows you how old I am. But I actually fell in love with Cheers.
Oh, okay, you know, okay.
I have no idea why. I just all of a sudden kind of came across.
You don't seem to be the demographic, because like Cheers is for like an older crowd. Exactly. I mean, we were younger when this was
exactly. Hit, and right? To this day, I, when I was thinking about this, why the hell was did I start watching Cheers? You know, the Harold has this.
I'm just confused. No, because like it would make sense if you watched it now, because. You know.
What kind of show? I like shows like Murphy Brown.
That's true.
You know?
Wow. So, I didn't know
that. Dennis loves comedies that don't make you laugh.
I love Murphy Brown. I'm just so you know.
Roseanne and Murphy Brown.
I'm one of those people that actually watched the new remake.
Oh,
and I'm praying that there's a second season.
Oh, it got canceled already.
Ah, son of a goodness. Oh, Candace Bergen.
Whoa.
Pretty... funny? No. So, what was I talking about? Oh, Cheers.
Murphy Brown.
No, but, you know, I remember, the reason why it stuck out, because I was thinking of what are some famous finales. And, you know, Lewis was talking about the idea of, you know, a cultural phenomenon. And I remember when it was announced that Cheers was going to be, was going to stop. And it was a cultural phenomenon at that time. You know, for some reason, I still remember in my head where they actually had the all the actors and actresses that was there, that was currently there and before that. You know, they were at like the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You know, they had like interviews. You know, I remember watching. My God, I'm dating myself. I remember watching Johnny Carson. You know, and they had an interview with everybody. And the reason why I really liked it, for those people who maybe not as young as I am, you know, in the story, Sam, the owner of the this amazing bar, which I wish somebody could create just so I can be a regular in there. You know, I want to be Norm, you know, except without the liver problem. Sorry. So you know, one of the things that I loved about that was because they that final episode, they really were trying to you know, finish the story. And here you have you know, Sam, who has been pining away, who thought that he finally lost his one true love, Diane. And there's all of a sudden an opportunity for him to go. And so he leaves the bar. He decides to go away, and, you know, with Diane. And in one of those reverse airport scenes where, you know, usually the airport scene, that's when, you know, please stay, you know, moments. It was actually the opposite. Sam had this realization that, yes, I love this woman, but there's one other woman I've always loved, and that was the bar.
Hmm.
You know, and so he decides to go back. And I still remember to this day the final scene where he's closing up, and, you know, you all the lights are turned off, and there's two people walking down and kind of knocking on the door. And Sam goes, you know, we're closed. And that was it. That was the end of the series. And I remember sitting and going, oh my God, that's exactly how I wanted. Because, yes, there's a sense of closure, but at the same time, you still know that the very next day, all the regulars are still going to be there. They're still going to have their adventures, still going to have their jokes, but you're able to kind of close it in a positive way. So that's my first one. Cheers.
Good pull.
Very good. I feel like a lot of what we're going to talk about is on NBC. It's just me. Because like
maybe it's just
my references are all NBC.
Damn it.
Stuff.
I think at least another one of mine is,
because I have
NBC.
At least two or three NBC ones.
No,
do you have an NBC one?
No, okay, I was
know
in the
exactly.
Philippines.
Oh, yes. Well,
so I watched Cardinals.
Really? You were in the Philippines when the finale?
You know, actually,
for...
I was going to say, like, for Dennis,
are you
just came.
Over the is this,
yes. I have to watch the neighbor's cable. What are you watching? But I do remember, like, when I came here, it was like, everybody's watching Cheers. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. But all right, sure, we'll watch. Because, you know, at the time, I was living with my grandparents, and they liked watching it. No offense to you.
No,
I'm not saying that 14-year-old Dennis is the same demographic as my 70-year-old grandparents.
Turns out, yes.
Were you also watching Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune?
That's
yes. Yes, I was.
Yes, I was.
Solid decisions.
Mine is, like I said, it's from an NBC comedy. I'm surprised Lewis isn't going with it, mainly because we did a discussion about this early on in our podcast careers, but one of my favorite finales was the Friends finale.
Oh, yeah.
Friends was one of those shows that, like, I didn't get into it at first because, you know, there's nothing relatable about it to us because we live in LA and we are slightly tanner than everybody else on that show. But the thing that always pulled me with that show was Chandler Bing, because he's basically
his humor
us,
is, yeah.
And Joey, because their friendship is, and, you know, we can relate to that. So the thing about Friends is it was on for so long that you forgot that it was on for so long.
Mm.
Like 10 seasons of just tons of episodes. And, you know, not always on, but when they were on, it was very good. And when it was off, it was just watchable. So you have the whole series progressing where you fall in love with all six main characters,
right?
And then inevitably you fall in love with their side characters until they get to the very end, where it's like the only one that you know anything for sure about is Joey, because they had a spinoff for him, so you knew he was going to be doing something else. But everybody else, there's question marks. And it was like the whole show had revolved around Ross and Rachel. You know, will they, won't they? That was the big thing. And the very last episode, you figure they're gonna get together, and then you see that Rachel like might leave for France.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole, you know, did you get on the plane?
Oh,
did
my
get
gosh,
on the plane?
Yeah,
that part. I remember watching that finale.
Reverse plane.
Yeah, reverse plane. Because you know, he would say, did she get off the plane? And then she pops in the door. She's like, I didn't get on the plane. And everybody like, what? My Jennifer Aniston impression. She became Herbie Balashes.
She became I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell that was you, man.
I closed my eyes for a second.
I was in
and
New York.
And I had bangs. But like that moment, I remember like a couple of days later, they released the Friends finale on DVD, and it was just the Friends finale and some bloopers, and it was like, who's gonna buy one single episode on DVD?
Everybody
and,
did.
And like me and people were just watching it. I had just graduated from college a couple months before that, so I had nothing going on in my life, and I was like, anybody wanna watch Friends finale? And like a bunch of people from like college, they were like, yeah, you can watch it with us. And I was like, alright, you know, I still think I'm cool. So, you know, going around, and I was like, this show is getting everybody. Like, all the freshmen were there. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the people who were been there a decade before I was were still there. And I was like, okay, so this was an actual phenomenon. It wasn't just, you know, like a small group. It was a big thing. So I remember that was one of those, just one of those moments where you had to be around. And right. It's like, where were you when the Friends finale went down? Like,
Yeah, well, what I liked about that, too. I mean, yeah, that actually was on my list, too, of solid finales, is that for all the side characters that all the friends started dating and all the little side stories about kids and marriage and all that stuff, you know, the last scene was the six of them again.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a nice little wrap up, like you were saying earlier, what counts for a good finale.
And Chandler got the last joke, so.
Yeah, there you go. You got the last joke. You're right. So for me, one of my favorite finales would have to be the Justice League Unlimited. I'm going to go animated. I know you guys went live action, but one of my favorite cartoons ever
is this like the Green Lantern?
No, we actually saw Lantern? Justice League Unlimited, didn't you?
I saw the show. I didn't remember that there was
a movie. Oh, okay. Well,
I didn't know there was a finale.
So, you know, this is basically the conclusion of the, you know, the Bruce Timm, Paul Dini universe of DC characters, you know, starting from the DC, the Batman animated series through Superman, through Justice League, you know, no prefix, to Justice League Unlimited. The big finale, you know, this the show was building this huge world, you know, this comic book superhero world full of aliens and superheroes and magic and all that good stuff. So the finale was a great little wrap up in the sense that it was Endgame before Endgame was a thing, meaning that the big bad was Darkseid. He's been a big bad guy since since the Superman animated series, and this the last two. It was basically like a movie. It was two or three episodes in a row, I forget, where Darkseid basically pulls a trigger and invades Earth. It's actually, here's like one of those, as a comic book fanboy, like this is the part that I love. It was a leveled up Darkseid in a sense where, he had actually absorbed the power of Brainiac. So these are two big bad guys, if you're not aware, in the DC universe. So, you know, it's this Darkseid amped up with Brainiac's superpowers and all that stuff. And it was just a great episode because it ends with the biggest superheroes. The series ends with Darkseid going one-on-one with Superman. And then, you know, just having a great throwdown match. That, you know, you've got to see to believe, in the sense where Batman and Superman, you know, double team Lex Luthor and Darkseid, and it's just a great finale. So definitely recommend it. I think it's on Netflix now, so, you know, stream it if you can, watch it, and it's just a great binge. So yeah,
it's on Netflix now.
It was on Netflix, I think. Never mind. I don't take my word for that. I apologize.
I don't know. I just, you know, sometimes you want to be a completionist and just finish things off.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway. But yeah, so I think,
unfortunately, I'm always a completionist. I always finish things off.
Not me.
I try to finish first.
It happens when you get older. But... So, we're still talking about shows, right?
Shows, yeah, TV shows.
Okay, speaking of finales.
Speaking of failures.
Speaking of shows that final shows that disappointed.
It seems like we have a love fest for these for a couple of shows, but instead of going all, you know, good, I say we kind of dive down into things that we think were terrible. And again, to date myself, I think I'm gonna stick with, you know, shows that that were in the past, and I don't know if our listeners would actually watch it, but the one I distinctly remember, and I can't believe that I was actually a fan of it, was the TV show called Dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I remember that finale.
Not the baby.
Not the mama. Yeah.
You know, if we were to kind of, for those people who don't know it, it was kind of like if Simpsons and the Flintstones had a baby with each other. That would be
and,
the show.
And Jim Henson.
Yeah.
The Jim,
and Fozzie Bear for the reason.
Threw some DNA in there. Interrupted. Waka waka.
But that's the funny part.
Meteor.
If you remember the show, those were actually, you know, it was actually ahead of its time. It was talking about sexual harassment.
Dude, okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Really quickly, I was going to talk about that. The guy that I will never forget, one of the first jokes I ever understood, like from a dirty standpoint, was he had a coworker named Al Harris, and his nickname was Sexual. So he said, the thing was like, they did an interview and it goes, what Al Sexual Harris meant. And I was like, sexual harassment.
I get the reference.
That's clever.
I get the joke.
So yeah, dinosaurs.
Again, I'm glad stupid. I'm not the only one who actually watched that show and actually appreciated it. But I remember it was not a seminal moment in fandom. It was like a poof.
Yeah, it's a little fart.
But I actually liked it enough that I actually continued watching it.
Okay.
And do you guys know what happened in the finale?
You know, I know personally.
Huh? Well, that's the mess part. No, not a meteor.
What was it?
That was the thing. Everybody thought because it was the dinosaurs that was the end of it. It actually wasn't. The way it worked was that I think Earl was the dad. Earl was in charge of this environmental program, and because of the them building a strip mall or of some sort, they destroyed the natural habitat for these like bugs,
mm-hmm.
and they're the bugs that were actually like stopping these vines from taking over. Without these bugs there, the vines started taking over the world and started kind of destroying everything. And so what Earl's job was to try to get rid of these vines, eradicate them. And they were successful. They dropped these like these chemicals into a volcano, and this the volcano erupted and caused global warming.
It caused
an ice age.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And so the ending was Earl apologizing to everybody because he knows he was the reason why the world was going to end.
Oh,
and that was the ending of it. They accept that Earl was wrong, and they decided to say that, you know, no matter what happens, we're still going to be with you. The end. I was like, oh my god.
That's dark, dude.
I just hated that show because, like, for a while in college, people called me Earl the Dinosaur.
It's because of your tail.
Yeah. Or the no neck thing.
One or the other.
So, yeah. So, that was mine.
That's dark, dude. I didn't know that's dark. How that ended. Wow, okay.
Which, by the way, the other one I have is gonna be dark, too.
Okay.
By the way, was that NBC?
That was on ABC.
Oh, okay.
Because it was part of the TJF.
Oh, okay.
I know Full House had a very similar.
But they came back, I guess.
Yeah.
Fuller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not all of them, and Becky. Anyways. for me, it's the thing is, I'm going to name a finale for one of my favorite shows. The reason it sucked as a finale was because it was not supposed to be a finale.
Ooh.
And that's what always made me very mad about everything.
Hold on.
Think about it. Harold, favorite TV shows.
Damn it. No, go ahead.
Big Bang Theory. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, by the way, that ended last week. None of us cared.
I think we were recording.
We were here,
actually.
And we were just like...
We actually have two best of... I thought we were doing two best.
Are you going to...
Guess what I'm going to be doing?
Fair enough.
Murphy Brown.
Alf.
No. Close, though. Alf Bundy.
Oh,
I don't remember it. Wait,
I don't remember. You slapped your leg.
I did. And then he went, my own knee slapper, guys. Sorry. This is, like I said, why sometimes we need to be a visual podcast.
A BGO.
I literally said Alf Bundy and slapped my own knee at the same time. Alf Bundy. Okay. So, yeah, for me, the finale was the Married to Children finale.
What was the finale?
The finale was...
Did he cause global warming?
No, it was even worse. It was really bad because... So the thing is, they canceled the show midway through the very last... The season that would be the last season. So they didn't have time to film an actual finale. The finale had already been... the season finale had already been filmed. There was no time for a series finale. And the season finale was just... Bud made a pen pal in prison, and she only came because she wanted to rob the Bundys of their riches, which they had none. But her boyfriend ended up falling in love with Kelly. And he actually ended up proposing to Kelly, and then they were supposed to get married in the Bundy house. The problem with that was the boy, or the guy that was going to marry Kelly, was one of those players, so he had like wives in a lot of different countries or cities and states. And even though Kelly was
different
pretty...
Area codes.
Yes. He had lots of hoes. And,
Wow.
Wow.
What? No, I'm actually wowing that you have a rap reference.
Oh, okay.
Because nice. It was ludicrous.
Nice.
But,
It wasn't ludicrous. It was actually pretty good.
Damn it, I slapped my knee.
You only get one.
But this is my right knee, so that's more, this is the disappointing knee. Ah, the rats.
I got a high five and a knee slap. I'm on a roll.
But it was just because, you know, even though Kelly was promiscuous, but she was still someone who loved, and you know, the Bundys were always all about family. So at the end, they have they find out he's gonna. Cheat on her or whatnot, and so Al beats him up, and then they kick him out, and then Bud supposedly marries the daughter, and that was it. And it was like, and then Kelly runs away with the whole groomsmen party or the rest of the dudes, because you know, Kelly whore. And it was just sad because that's how you're gonna end a show with like about family. I mean, and not just about family, but about like the whole Bundy family. It's like one really crappy joke and like a half an hour of build up to actual that leads to nothing. So that was one of those ones, you know, invested in pretty much from the beginning, and then to see it fall very, very flat at the very end, not given just more or less not getting the fair chance for an actual finale. So
yeah, I mean, here's my thing. What's worse though, like getting cut off like that, or actually having planned a finale and then just falling flat on your face?
See,
so
that's the other thing.
So I'm talking about How I Met Your Mother.
Yep.
Okay, so...
Whoa.
What your mother.
Was it your graduation?
Jesus.
Huh?
I met her totally differently.
Damn, these inside jokes are killing us, guys.
It was at a PCN practice. She brought actually, snacks. It was nice.
It was actually Lewis's graduation.
Anyways. Let's talk about How I Met Your Mother for a little bit. And this, so the whole premise of the show is in the title. It's a dad voiced by
Bob Saget.
Bob Saget, thank you very much. Who is telling his grown kids, or you know, teenage kids, how he met his mother, how he met their mother. And this goes on for 8 seasons, basically, of him telling great stories, great anecdotes, great characters in his life, leading up to what everybody thought was going to be the big reveal of who the mother was. Now, you know, fast forward to the last season, and it was announced. I think NBC, CBS, thank you. CBS was touting this as basically like, you know, one of those cultural phenomena, like Friends was, or Seinfeld, or, you know, all these other shows where people are like, you got to watch this last season, it's going to wrap up, we're finally going to get the answer that we wanted. The final season was basically, for whatever reason, it was the marriage of, or it was the wedding of Barney and Robin, side characters of the story, very close to the, you know, to the father, can't remember his name.
Ted,
thank you very much. You know, and then the final episode, basically, for whatever, I don't know how they decided this, but the final episode became a quick montage of what happened to everybody, where he meets the mom, and the mother dies in that same episode, tragically, sadly, through, you know, so some illness. And then the pun,
not or in the same day, right?
Not in the same day. I'm sorry.
In the same.
In the same half hour, basically, yeah. Like, you know, the
but in story time,
in yeah,
yeah,
in story time, it's not this, is that
no, no, yeah, yeah,
he
yeah,
hasn't
yeah.
had enough time to have,
you know, at least 9 months,
yeah, at least 9 months.
Well, the kids are teenagers, so at least a couple of years,
yeah, so yeah, so you know, in the final episode, they rush through the whole thing where she, the episode before the last is where he actually meets the mom, they fall in love in like a minute of highlights. And then he gets to the point where, and then that's when your mom died. And the watchers, at least myself and my wife, and we were watching it, were like, what? What just happened? And then the pun, or like the joke, or what I thought that they were going for, was basically the kids then realize, oh, dad, you're just telling us a story so that you can ask permission to date Aunt Robin, who was, you know, the love interest for the whole show anyway. So it was a very confusing, weird letdown. I think this finale just happened a year or two ago when we started. Oh,
it's been 4 years
already. Wow. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Well,
that's exactly.
I think you know this podcast was already stewing in our heads back then. But Harold and I were just like, "What was that about?" That was like super disappointing. And in a sense, like we wanted like a big. I mean, I seem like the shallow one out of the fanboys because I want the big whoop, you know, the big boy, whatever. And you guys are looking for character moments, whatever. But you know, I'm just like, where was that moment? There was no moment like that. So I mean, it was all. It all felt like it was for a gag of like, oh, you just wanted to. You wanted our permission to date Aunt Robin. Ha ha. I don't know. What did you think, dude?
Well, just the thing that I always remember that sucks about it is the whole last season was a build. Was literally 18 episodes of them building 18, to
oh my God, you're right.
Robin and Barney's wedding. And it's like the whole season was just supposed to be like a couple of days.
Like every hour of that wedding
day. And it's like, let's spend all of these episodes building up to a wedding and crap on it in the first 10 minutes of the finale.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, we got divorced. We didn't tell anybody.
Barney knocked up a random girl.
And that's why I was like, that it really, like, they took down that, like, I remember we had an episode a few months ago called It's Not That Bad. It wasn't as bad as I initially made it out to be, because I've seen it a couple of times now. It is an ending. It's just not a good one.
Right. So. Yeah. So, I mean, like I said at the beginning of the series, like, would you rather have them set it up or just cut it off at the legs like Married with Children was? But anyway.
So, I had a couple of things that I kind of wanted to talk about, but since we only have one more, and I kind of wanted to go with a very timely one, and I want to talk about Big Bang Theory. And I know it's been a joke that I've been kind of using it on Harold to kind of like agitate him, but you know, just recently Big Bang Theory did just end.
Yeah.
And I admittedly watched the whole finale and the whole last season, and I have to tell you, the last season was hit and miss. There were some good moments, there were some bad moments, there's some really boring moments.
Oh.
And admittedly, the episode, so the finale was a two-parter, and the first part I was like, God damn it. this is it. This is gonna be the letdown that everybody is expecting, and that the first half hour was terrible. And the way they made it is that it's still they made it a two episode. It's not like one straight episode.
Oh, it was like two
consecutive episodes. Now, in the end of the whole thing, spoiler alert: Sheldon and Amy win a not Pulitzer Prize. What's the
Nobel Prize?
Nobel Prize. There,
oh wow!
For physics, you know, and the whole idea then is that this is Amy and Sheldon. They're gonna go to Stockholm to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, and the whole episode, I was like kind of confused. Like, wait a minute, we've spent the last 7-8 years kind of building up. You know, it originally started out with a Penny and
Leonard
TV show, but as time progressed, everybody realized, well, the character here is Sheldon,
right?
And especially this last season, there was really a build up to, here's Sheldon, here's somebody who didn't know how to talk to people, now they have family. And that was one of the cool things that it ended up with, was that it was here's Sheldon's ultimate moment, and he finally has a family. And that's what the last couple episodes were, a realization. And then all of a sudden, that last episode, I was like, wait a minute, they're falling back in the same trope. you know, Sheldon is still an a-hole. Sheldon still doesn't understand people. And that was the first half of that episode. It was him. You know, there was a turns out that Sheldon, and spoiler alert, Leonard and Penny are gonna have a baby. Okay, oh. The Wolowitz's daughters and son got hurt, and so they were trying to figure out, what should we do? Should we go home? Should we, you know, do something like this? And Sheldon's whole idea was like, this is my moment, you know, stop being selfish. This is my moment. And so here we have the very end of this episode, and I was kind of like teetering. Is it a good episode? Is it a bad episode? And the scene is Sheldon is about to give his speech, and this speech is supposed to be a 3-hour lecture and everything. And he stands there, he looks at his wife, and his wife is angry because, you know, he's being himself. Mm-hmm. He looks at his friends who, despite the fact that they were going through their hardships, you know, they still decided to come and support him. And he kind of asks Amy, why are they supporting it? Well, because you're their friend. And Sheldon sits there, and in a moment of realization, he realizes how much of an ass he was. And at that moment, he decides to ditch his speech about himself, and he goes to each and every single person and actually talks about, you know, this is the reason why you're important in my life. And the main message was that, you know, his greatest accomplishment was the fact that he was able to actually come up and be able to grow up and actually have friends. Mm. And so for him, that was more important than Nobel Peace Prize. And I have to admit, I was like, wow, that actually turned around really quickly for me. And that's just for that scene where Sheldon is able to talk to each and every single person. I stopped and I was like, that was good. Not a big bang, you know, but it was a quiet introspective of the character. And it was, again, a character building moment. At least for me, it was a satisfying ending. Was it a perfect ending? No. Mm-hmm. But at least for me, it was satisfying. At the very end where, you know, there's always going to be an end scene. But in their end scene, kind of like the Cheers, where they're just sitting there in their couch. And that was it. You know for a fact that from now on, forever, these people are going to be sitting there in Pasadena, you know, having fun with each other. And so I was like, wow, I'll take it.
Okay.
It was a show. Again, visual podcast, Harold's eyes kind of twisted up a little bit.
You'll always have young Sheldon.
No, even Dennis's
hot take.
Dennis's review already made me angry. It's just like, oh, so Sheldon got to be a douchebag again, and then you're supposed to, you automatically forgive him at the very end? Come on, man. Come on. You can't do that. That's worse than, you know, Game of Thrones kind of thing, where it's like, yeah, let's give him that one redeemable character at the very end. Just so everyone's like, ah, yeah, now I get it.
Just
garbage. So anyway, it's some real television.
Which, by the way, I was going to do something else, but I knew that this was going to be Harold's reaction. So well worth not being able to do my my second one.
you can, what's your second one?
No, okay.
We'll do an honorable mention.
Okay. Yeah. You said an honorable
mention. No, or we could do another round of this.
Episode, if you guys like this one.
Yeah.
For me, there's always been like a ton of great a series finale is hard to always choose what's the bad and what's really good. And for me, the Big ultimate, Bang. Yeah, the actually good, an actual good and a great episode, not just of television, but just like a big slice of pop culture, will be the series finale for Parks and Recreation. I mentioned it on our website before, and I've mentioned it several times here, that it's one of my favorite shows, if not my favorite show of all time, succeeding The Simpsons only because there's an actual ending for Parks and Recreation. And, you know, there was an actual beginning and there's an actual ending. And, you know, that's it. And with The Simpsons, unfortunately, it's still going.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, you know, I haven't watched in like 10 years, so it can't be.
Which is a sad truth.
Yeah.
And now, now that Disney owns it, that's just going to keep going.
Yeah, and it's going to be family friendlier. But anyways, so Parks and Recreation, wasn't a fan right at the beginning, caught in as a fan in the second season, and then just followed it all the way through. What's great about the very last season is there's a time jump between the last episode of the previous season and the very first episode of the final season of 3 years. So you imagine they cut out the whole, there's like, she was pregnant at the end, now she's got three triplets that are, you know, toddler sized. And people who were friends at the end of that show, or of that, the previous season, all of a sudden they're enemies because 3 years have passed and things have just happened, you know. So in the show, we always had Leslie Knope and Ron Swanson as pretty good friends, but during that break they've all of a sudden become enemies, and it's like a weird thing to see. And for like the whole, for a couple of series, a couple of episodes of the last season, it's them fighting each other and then finally having a breakdown where they, you know, finally discuss what went wrong and what they can do to fix it. So the very, very, very last episode is just the most beautiful tie-up of any question you've ever had for a TV show, where it's like every single character that had or will ever matter in that show was given a proper ending, whether it was like birth, death, you know, promotion, or overall happiness. Like Ron Swanson, his whole thing had always been, he doesn't care too much for politics, he doesn't care about the city at all, he just wants to be free and just be, you know, be a man of the land. And what he's given is, he's given his own national park to run. So like he's given his dream job where he's literally just gonna sit in a canoe or sit in his cabin and just like cruise for the whole time as long as the park is fine. And Leslie has given him that job, and in the end you kind of figure, you see Leslie had always been the political, you know, type, and had always had aspirations for bigger things, and she becomes the director of parks for the whole nation. And then in the end it's like she shows up at a funeral with Secret Service, and it's like, oh, did she just become the president of the United States? You don't know. And that's what's fun about it, is like maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. Mm-hmm. She'd always been fascinated with politics, and it's like you see everybody finally get what they deserve, because these are always characters that were always just like, they don't, like, maybe hers is just because she's always been like that kind of aspiring, but everybody else who has like really low level aspirations, they finally get theirs, whether it be kids, whether it be just, you know, finally settling down and everything. So it was beautiful. I did cry because, you know, you see characters for 7 or 8 seasons and finally getting what they deserve, and it was just a beautiful coming together. So
Lewis, before you do your last one, okay, since I only have one more, there's one that,
sure,
I really think, I'm going to try to send my thoughts to you. What is one, especially since you did animation,
okay,
what is the best finale that you can think of?
Oh, I'm staring at it right now. I think you're talking Avatar The Last
Airbender. Is that what you were going to do?
That's exactly what,
okay,
I was going to do.
Okay, thank God.
Okay. So yeah, I've been staring, I've been staring at it. He's been punching Harold's head the whole time. For me, my last favorite best finale has to be Avatar The Last Airbender. It is a cartoon animated series from Nickelodeon following the story of Aang, the last airbender. 3 seasons long, one of the greatest stories of character development, redemption, conflict, whatever pathos you can think of. It's just a great culmination that ends with such a satisfying, and you know, it kind of feels that it hits all the three of ours, our boxes, in the sense that, you know, I got my spectacle because there was a huge fight between Fire Lord Ozai and Aang, not to mention a great knockout dragout fight between the siblings, Azula and his and Zuko, and a great, you know, what do you call those, the air balloon fight with, you know, the non-powered or with Toph and Sokka and all the other folks, and you get a lot of great emotion and payoff that Dennis is looking for, and closure that Harold was talking about, because you know, the whole series was leading up to this thing. You know, it's hard to imagine, or not hard to imagine, but I'm sure as a creator, as a writer, it's hard to imagine that I have a story that has a beginning and an end, and this one, it went through the whole motion, and the ending was just so powerful and such a great payoff to all of the storylines that were, you know, planted from the first episode. So, you know, definitely one of the best series. Like I said, it's only 3 seasons long. Definitely bingeable and great. And like I said, if you haven't seen the finale, I know it's one. Last Airbender is one of those great things that there's like so many great fans of it, but it feels like it hasn't quite reach that like threshold of pop culture awareness. Does that make sense? Like,
I blame the movie.
No, yeah. I blame all the goodwill that the cartoon.
Which, by the way, you're gonna have to wait until we do this, edit this episode. You paused. You were gonna say "ong."
I did. I'm sorry. M. Night Shyamalan. You ruined it. But yeah, right. All the goodwill that the cartoon had was stomped by the horrible movie that, like, just ruined it for everybody. But so, like I said, you know, there's a big fight, a huge. A great story for everybody involved, and like I said, great closure. Like Harold was kind of talking about, all of the great characters in it, you were left with hope, and they had a new vision that you were happy with as a viewer. So definitely one of the greatest, best finales.
I think I'm gonna go with the word epic, because mm-hmm. you know, that whole series. If, for the love of God, if you're listening to this podcast and you've never watched Avatar The Last Airbender, slap yourself silly real quick and then go and watch it, because it is amazing. And as Lewis kind of talked about, everything was in that last, you know, that last episode. And for me, it's funny, I'm one of those, you know, I used the word completionist a while ago, but you know, like, one of the things that I loved about Harry Potter is because we kind of get like a preview. Oh, this is what happened to Harry Potter when they stopped, you know, when they grew up. For Avatar, I really was worried that they were going to end like after the fight. You know, it was going to be like, you know, Avatar.
Yeah.
You know, type thing. But the fact that they had a chance to go and show us what happens afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, and we get to see, we finally get to see the kiss, even though it's a little awkward if you think about it, because it's two 14-year-olds or something like that. You know, but you get to see Katara and Aang. See, I did it. I did it for you. Katara and Aang actually kiss, you know, and call each other like sweetie. Like, I was like, oh God, yes, that's the itch.
It sounds really bad.
That's the itch I've been looking for.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. He's digging the hole deeper, guys.
You know, but the one cool thing, though, is that, you know, even though you would think that because I like finales, I like, you know, closure, the fact that at the very end you have Zuko turn to his father as, tell me about my mom.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, end Avatar. Yeah. It's like, no! So, you know, it's one of those times where I was like, I was happy, I was satisfied, but how dare you, you know, not do anything with this.
So the perfect ending for Dennis. Because Dennis doesn't like happy endings.
Thanks.
Awkward. So, you know, we could go on and on about this. You know, we actually had a couple more things, but, you know, we thought that this was not going to last too long. Damn it, we're digging that hole still. But, you know, it's a little bit over an hour already, which is kind of surprising for us because, you know, we're supposed to be a 45-minute podcast.
That ship sailed a long time ago.
Ever since we figured out we like talking more than we actually do. So, you know, if you out there in fandom, you know, if you listen to us and you think that we missed something, trust us that we had a whole...
Oh, we know we missed a lot of things.
If there's anything that you kind of want us to talk about, if you like this, tell us. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, definitely this is something we can jump back on and ride on forever.
Phrasing!
So if you want to ride with us...
Speaking of phrasing, you know, by the time you listen to this, in a couple days, Archer's going to be back.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm actually pretty excited about that one. So hopefully it's going to be as good, if not better, than the last couple series. And hopefully Lewis actually watches the show.
I'll try to catch up. I want, like, season 3. Okay. But, yeah.
peak Archer at that point. Then.
Okay, yeah. It's getting really good. Anyway, sir. Sir.
So that is it for us today. I hope you guys enjoyed our episode. You know, as usual, we do like, interacting with you. You know, even though, you know, sometimes I could be a jerk on the podcast. You know, come on. If on Facebook I give you guys a hot take, you know, I'm not trying to shut you down. I'm just trying to see.
He wants you to throw that hot take back at him, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. He likes it hot in his face.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So if you would like to continue with our hot takes and stuff on Lewis's face, please contact us and take a look at our website, twofanboysonecasual.com, where we have all our previous episodes and a spattering of articles.
On Facebook, we are Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Every time the podcast goes live, you'll catch it there. We'll post it there. Pin it to the post of our... pin it to the top of our page. Any fun articles, any new news out there that's worthy of fandom, poll questions every so often, I'll throw it out there too. So yeah, check it out, check us out, like it, comment, face it, follow us, yeah,
bop it.
That's where you twist it.
And then you also on Yonso.
Yonso, that's so, a Beyonce's brother. Yeah. Yonso,
it's actually Beyonce and Han Solo's child.
Is that the new character from Star Wars? I don't know who she is. She's like riding horseback with
Carrie Russell.
No, there's a new character with
with
Finn.
With Carrie Russell.
Oh yeah. Riding Carrie Russell on horse. Anyway, what? So you can also follow us. Dang it. It's falling apart.
Ding.
Twitter, Instagram, Two Fanboys Were Casual.
Awesome. I'm hoping you guys enjoyed our episode. As usual, stay tuned next week. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold. We're really bad at going.